Father, again, we just take a moment as we look at your word, that Lord God, your anointing would be upon it, that we would hear what you want us to hear this morning. May it go deep into our heart. May we apply it to our lives. May you get honor and glory in it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 10. But this isn't even part of the sermon, but I'm sitting here thinking about the light, walking in the light. And, you know, so many times we have these normal catchphrases that we seem to throw around as Christians, and a lot of times people don't understand what that really looks like. And I was sitting there thinking, now this is me. You know, I've anybody that knows me knows that sometimes, you know, you don't want to be up in here. And I was sitting there thinking as a kid that my brother and I were screwing around, and it was late, and we were making noise. We were actually pretending that we were playing football and bouncing off the beds and carrying on. And I remember I hear this, you know, you hear this noise, and all of a sudden you stop, you get back in bed, and you pretend. And I remember this flashlight that was shining at me. And at first I thought that was my grandfather, and I thought I'm in trouble. But, you know, the light shined. And then the next day, my grandfather never said a word. So then in your mind, you start thinking about, oh, well, who was that? What was that? You know, and then your mind just starts to wander. And then just the other day, Becky and I had just rolled into bed. We were probably both just going to sleep. All of a sudden, we heard this noise. We knew it was Petey, our Westie, making noises. She says, he's up. I'm saying no, because I'm half droggy. And she said, yes, he's up. So I get up and I start walking through the house. I don't see him. And I go into our spare bedroom and I turn on the light, and there he was, ears suddenly go back, with a toy sitting in his mouth, like you caught him, you know, doing what he's not supposed to do. So when I'm thinking of walking in the light, I'm thinking, you know, how many times, God, have you caught me with the toy in my mouth with my ears back, catching me doing something that I shouldn't be doing? How many times, Lord, are we screwing around when we should be sleeping or whatever we're doing? And Lord, you show us. And, you know, just a tidbit. You know, that's what I said. You don't want to get up in here a lot of times, but it's just God doing something amazing in our lives. The last few weeks we've been looking at the eyewitnesses that spent time with Jesus. The scripture, those people that have heard, seen, and touched the hand of Jesus. Last week's text was 1 John 1 to 3, where it says, that which is from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We saw last week that we can't separate God's love from his character. We can't separate what God feels for us and will do for us, because it's his character. The witnesses proclaimed this truth so that we could have fellowship with God, so that we might know that it's a testimony of believers gathering together. And this morning in this text, I want to just take a moment to look at fellowshipping with God, walking with God, what it means to be walking in the light. How do we do these things? You know, a lot of times, like I said, if you know me, one of the things that I want to do the most is not only just give you the word, but also apply it. If you can't apply the principles of God, then you're missing out what God wants for us. So I want to take a moment to look at, what does it mean and what does it look like to be fellowshipping with God, walking in his light? So if you turn, should be there already, 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his truth is not in us. So we see here that God is love, and we see here that God is light, and we quickly grab the truth that if we're going to be in the light, that it's going to be that we're in a right relationship with him, walking side by side with him and allowing him to communicate with us, allowing him to change the things that are going on. And my response to some is, maybe if we're not feeling like God is close to us, maybe we're not in that relationship that we need to be, that where we can sense God's presence, where we can sense him wanting to do something in our lives, where we struggle that God seems so far off, it could be because we're not walking with him anymore. And then we see the contrast of light and darkness, and we see in this text the contrast between sin and forgiveness. We see that God is good. We see that God is light. We see that God is life. And then we see that darkness is evil. We see that sin is deceiving. We see that darkness is death and self-righteousness. And his word tells us that if we're not walking in the light, which is him, that we're deceiving ourselves. And if you decide that you don't need a savior, his word, which is our final authority, tells us that God is not in us, that God's spirit doesn't dwell in us, that God's spirit is not invited in our lives to do what he's called us to do. The word that John gives us here tells us that if we're not willing to confess our sins, you know, the wrongs that we do against God, that if we're not willing to confess first to him and be accountable to others for our actions, that the word's not in us. And you think about all the things that are going on today. How many distractions do you have in the course of a day? How many things can pull you away from God? How many would sit this morning and say that I have good intentions, but I never got to my devotions? How many have good intentions that you wanted to spend time with God in prayer and you just missed those times of fellowship, and before you know it, God seems like he's far away. The Old Testament, the animal sacrifices was a covering, and the blood of Jesus Christ forgives sin. It takes away. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. So he's telling us and showing us that when we're out of fellowship, when our spirit doesn't bear witness with his spirit, when we're deceiving ourselves and kind of like I gave the example of my dog, when I turn the light on and sometimes we're caught in those moments, because there's a difference between walking in the light and avoiding the light. Say amen to that. There's a difference between walking in the light and desiring God to shine his love and his grace and his mercy on us, and then there's avoiding the light because we know at that time that we're not where we need to be, those times that we miss out on what God wants. Those that dwell in darkness. See, there's a difference between sometimes stumbling and dwelling in the darkness. Those that dwell in darkness don't like that the light's being shined. And we think of all kinds of critters. As soon as the light comes on, that you know, they run and hide. God is light. Word of God tells us that in him there is no darkness. That's God's character. That's, you can't separate those two things. But yet, here's where we can really see the grace of God. Here's where we can really see the love of God in action. Can you say amen to that? How many need the grace of God? How many desire the grace of God? How many struggle with things going on, and that we see here that God is good. We see that how bad we can be without God in our lives. We see that without God we can't be good, at least by the standard of God. And so many people try to measure their goodness by someone else that's worse. Say amen to that. They measure that, you know, we can't measure by the same standard. God is measured as a holy God, a just God, a God that won't tolerate sin. And yet, in our own justification of trying to be good, we just search the world out to see who can be worse and then compare, well, we're not as bad as this person. So that we're not too bad. And the time that we just miss out that we spend with God on an occasional relationship, or we walk with Him as long as things are good, and as soon as things are bad, we in ourselves desire that we think we can handle it, or we can do these things on our own, and we never really ask Him into that circumstance. And we see that light cast out darkness. We are changed by the light of God working in our lives and casting out that darkness and casting out that sin in our lives. And it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. What we were before and how we acted is replaced by choice by a God that has allowed to clean house and allowed us to send sin packing and allowing God to work in our lives. That may be harsh and it may be narrow-minded, but that is the standard God sets. Say amen to that. We don't have that choice to set that. God tells us and directs us how we are to live out our lives, and he provides everything that's needed to live that life. All the way back to the first words of the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering all over the waters. And God said what? Let there be light, and there was light. God dispelled darkness. God allowed darkness to what which once was void. He dispels it, and he allows the earth to receive light. And God sheds his light and casts out the darkness. Did you know it could never be pitch dark as long as there's a little bit of light? You know what? That gives me hope. Do you say amen to that? That gives me hope that no matter what, there that just a little bit of light is going to change. It will never be pitch dark as long as there's a little bit of light. That you can make an impact as long as you're there, as long as you're a part of the light. You'll make an impact with people that need to know Christ, His love, and His light working through you. His love. His light, that's not our character until we ask Him in. We are the opposite. In fact, I think we're like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Say amen to that. We at times desire to do the right things, and the things that we desire to do doesn't always work out that way. And we see the conflict between our desires and God's desires. We see that our flesh in ourselves is battling with God for what God wants to do in our lives. As Christians, we have to allow God to do what He wants to do. Let me say this. The flesh will try to convince us that what we do is okay, even if it doesn't line up with God's word. The flesh will rationalize that we are not too bad and compare us to someone that's worse than ourselves. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he's had this battle. Anybody besides me had this battle? Oh, just me, I'm sorry. But listen to these words. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is it no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living me, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but do not carry it out. For I do the good that I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That is tongue twisting. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer what I do, but it is sin living in me. I told you don't want to be up there. How many, and don't raise your hands, how many struggle with that battle every day because of the distractions I'm telling you about, because of the things that you're just not willing to lay down, that those things that God is speaking to you about, but you're not ready to lay them down. That battle, that conflict inside, that battle of will you follow the Lord or will you do your own thing? I want you to know something. In some respects, I think it was easier before you came to Christ. Because I think sometimes before you came to Christ, it was all about you. It was all about what you wanted to do. And you may not even realize that some of the things you were doing was darkness, because the only thing that you knew to do was that. And then, darn it, the Lord began to work on you. He began to show you some of the things that are going on in your life. He began to show you that what you thought was okay is no longer okay. He's showing you that he wants to change those things in your life. And he began to show you the love that he has for you. And you know, just like I said about the light with my grandfather shining it on me, it was pure love. It wasn't to harm you. It was to bring you back where you needed to be. And at times, I literally think all hell breaks loose in our life. Amen? Anybody? You see it. You begin to see what sin's done in your life, and you begin to see that the Lord is convicting you of some of these things, and then you sense the love of God wanting to move you in the right direction. And sometimes your head says yes, and your body says no, and your mind says I'm willing, but your flesh says forget it. And I just want to take a couple minutes. What do you do? How do we win those battles? And a couple things that maybe you want to write down this morning. Number one is this: determine that you're going to walk in the light. Now that sounds like a cliche, don't it? Determine that you're going to walk in the light. But when you're in a crisis is not the time to decide when you're going to serve God. That is not the time that you serve God. It's before you get in a crisis, so that when you get in the crisis, you're determined that you're going to walk through that in the strength of the Lord, to walk in obedience. When Jesus says, follow me, it really is a mistake to think that just saying a few words is going to change your life, unless you're determined from the time that you say those few words that you're going to follow him. It's kind of like when you tell your kids, say you're sorry, and they go, sorry. That's exactly the attitude sometimes we have with God. God's telling us, follow me. And you're saying, yes, okay. But we're not. It's a simple way of accepting Christ. It's that easy. The gospel is that easy. You want the Lord in your life. You accept him into your life. But there comes a point that some point you're going to have to determine that you're going to walk with him, that you're going to serve him, and you're going to keep your eyes focused on him when those things are going awry. Those times that you're struggling and stumbling and you get out of the light, you're determined that you're not going to stay outside of his will and his way. You're going to get back in. See, it doesn't say that you never stumble or you never fall out of the light. I don't think that's possible this side of Christ's return, but we have to be determined that when we get to that spot, even though we don't feel like it, even though we're having a bad day, even though we're tired and stressed out, that we're determined that we're going to get back in a right relationship with God. Being in the light is allowing God to shed his light on us and giving him permission to do what's necessary. Amen? God purifies us as we walk with him. How many know that when the Bible talks about perfection, they're not talking about you being perfect? It's talking about perfecting and walking in the things of God. A holy God, allowing him to work on our lives. Tommy Lasorda, former L.A. Dodger manager, he's talking about this battle going on within him. And he describes it this way. I think it's really good, and I think it's fitting. And you could put your own battle device in there. He says this. He says that I took out a pack of cigarettes from my pocket, stared at them, and then said, "Who's stronger, you or me?" And he said, "I stopped smoking." Then he said, "I fixed a martini and looked at that martini and said, who is stronger, me or you?" And he said that he quit drinking. He said that he looked at a big plate of linguine with clam sauce, and he said, "Who's stronger, me or you?" And the little clam looked up and said, "I am." So I don't know what your battle is. But do you see that the only way we're going to do that is allowing God to bring that to the forefront? We all have things that we struggle with. We need to be determined that we're going to walk in God's light. The second thing is this: confessing our sins quickly. Did you hear me? I didn't say just confessing your sins. I'm saying to you this morning that we need to confess them quickly. The Bible tells us in this verse, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession brings us back in track. Say amen. Confession, we're not telling God something that He doesn't already know. It's not like, okay, God, I know you didn't know this, but I'm struggling with this. But confession brings us back on track. Confession allows us to not build up this barrier that keeps us away from God. That creates this barrier that sometimes makes us comfortable being in the dark. And if you're not willing to confess your sins, the Bible tells us that we make God a liar because we're not believing that He's Lord. We're not allowing Him to be Savior. We're not allowing Him to do the things that we're supposed to be turning over to Him. How many know? And a lot of the kids are probably helping Jen, but how many know that we don't have to teach a kid to sin? Anybody out there? You never had to teach a kid to sin. They did all very well on their own. And even as adults, how many adults often get caught with their hand in the cookie jar? It's our nature. Without God working in our lives, we're natured that way. And you think of somebody when you read the news and you think, "Oh, I could never kill anybody. I could never do this. I could never do that." I'm telling you, by the grace of God, you go. By the grace of God, keeps you from doing these things, because at times they would say, "I would never have done this." And they find themselves in these things. There's nothing that we're not capable of doing without God in our lives. Number three is this, and the final thing here, standing on the promises of God. We sing the songs, you know, we sing the choruses. We have a great worship team and leads us to worship. But, you know, if you're going to sing "Standing on the Promises of God, My Savior," you got to live it. Somebody breaking out into song there. But we've got to live it. If Jesus is our truth, we got to live out that truth. If, you know, John 1:4-5 says this: "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." If we believe His truths, we will live His truth. Amen. If we believe it, we will live it. If we want God to do these amazing things in our life, we have to stand on those truths. Even in the times we don't feel like it. Even in the times that we feel that God is a million miles away. Because my Bible says that God will never leave us or forsake us. So even by our own feelings, God's character says He is there. Even if we don't see Him. Even if we don't feel Him, and God is working. How many know that God does amazing things without your permission? Huh? How many know that God doesn't need your help in certain things? So when we don't see something going on, doesn't mean God's not busy. Doesn't mean He doesn't have this, that he's not working on our behalf. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and not live the truth." There again, we're going to stumble. You may not know this, but I'm not perfect. And you're not either. Look to the person next to you and let them know you're not perfect. Now, Now get right back at them and say, you're not either. And let's move on. If you believe it, you will live it. To continually walk in darkness as a Christian is to not live as we professed. That's where the problem is. To walk in darkness on a continual basis as a Christian is to say one thing and live the other thing. We all stumble, but continually living in darkness is to avoid the light and not allow God to change us. Amen? If we believe it, we'll live it. Closing thought is this. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And all kinds of, you know, if I would just really preach that, sometimes you'd think that we suddenly became a Pentecostal church, because I believe with all my heart that God wants to do some amazing things in people's lives. I think we are the biggest struggle sometimes. And when we have these battles inside, and you start talking about inner battles, you talk about flesh versus carnality and all these other things, and throw all these good Christian words out that people sometimes don't grab onto. The bottom line is this. There's a battle going on within you, and it's you against God most of the time. And the only peace that you're going to get when you get that peace that passes all understanding is when you say, okay, God, I surrender. I'm not going to go to battle with you. You got this. I know you want to change these things in my life. Maybe you want to be like Tommy Lasorda. I'll do this. Who's stronger? And you'll get some victories on your own. But there will be times that the clam sauce is going to win without Jesus. And you need to know that and understand that we need God's help. Amen? We're broken, and we can't fix it ourselves. We can't fix some of these things. We can't fix. We're all good at something. We're all handy men and handy women at different things. But there are some things that we can't fix without God's help. There are some addictions. There are some habits. There are some things going on in our heads that only God can fix, including unforgiveness, including all kinds of things that take us away from the things of God. We have to be determined that we're going to walk in God's light and His Spirit. Amen? Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord God, that as we look at the Word of God, You've laid out some guidelines. Lord God, it's to our benefit to walk with You. The best life we could live is walking in a right relationship with You. The blessings of God fall when we're being obedient, when we're walking with You. Our strength, our encouragement, all comes when we're walking with You, Lord God. I pray that each one of us would grab on a truth here this morning. This message was for every single one of us, whether we're first-day Christians or we've been a Christian for 50 years. Each one of us needs to stay focused to make sure that we're walking in Your light, walking in Your ways, allowing You to minister to us. Lord God, I'm thankful for all the great things that You're doing in the life of the church. And as we continue to reach this community, may they see the light of Jesus in our lives. May we make an impact. And would You use every single one of us for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.